back together again. You and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, December 10th, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today, where I had some thoughts about reports of more alleged sham marriages happening here in Connecticut and a lack of response from majority Democrats in Hartford. Also chiming in on that, we welcomed Republican State Senate Leader Steve Harding to the program. Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist Dan Hard dropped by to chat about the state's finances and a key congressional race. All right, I want to start today off setting up our first topic here. I'm going to start this off for you with a little bit of a, well, let's call this a homework assignment, because there is an excellent story, an excellent piece of investigative journalism done by the Connecticut Insider, the Connecticut Post, and Hearst Connecticut Media. And I went and posted it. It is, if you haven't seen it yet, you really have to read this. Now, you'll see where I'm going here in a moment. Stand by. There is a story titled, and again, you're going to go, oh, this again. I know there are some people who whine and moan at me on the messaging app. Oh, you're talking about this again? Yeah. You're talking about the absentee ballots again? Yeah. You're talking about this? Yes, I am. You know why? Because it's my show. And if you don't like what I bring up on my show, don't listen. What can I tell you? We'll get to the absentee ballot thing in just a bit, because that's issue number two today. But as the great John McLaughlin used to say, issue one. Here we go round and round and loop-de-loop again with sham marriages. Now, remember when this first popped up, it popped up in New Haven. Remember this about, I don't know, my buddy Paul Bass was able to uncover this in the New Haven Independent, what, about a year and a half, 2 years ago? Remember that? And a civil servant in New Haven pretty much got threatened and railroaded by Mayor Justin Elliker and all the lefties that run my hometown, the city of my birth, because she called the feds, or she called Hartford or whatever and said, hey, she knew after decades in the town clerk's office that these were bogus marriages. But because some of them involved illegals, of course, everybody in New Haven put on their knee pads, and you know what happened. So from New Haven, then, there was the story that we were getting this also in Bridgeport. And if you recall, I believe there were some names like Wanda Jeter Pataki mentioned, I think, in the New Haven story and maybe in the Bridgeport story as well, because she's all over the place. She's allegedly, be fair here, in every story. And trust me, we'll get to the absentee ballot thing here. And in those stories, if you remember when I was talking about those stories, now follow along, follow the bouncing ball, sing along with Mitch here, one, two, three, four. There were news accounts and people even calling this show to say, hey, there's funny stuff going on now in Trumbull and in Southington. Remember that? I had a couple of callers on this show who said, hey, by the way, a couple told me on the air, a few people told me off the air, hey, there's funny business going on in Trumbull. Because, again, it was alluded to also in the her story, and I think in the New Haven Independent story. So guess what's happening here? In the words of Gomer Pyle, USMC, surprise, surprise, surprise. In the Connecticut Post here, women told police in Connecticut they were threatened into sham marriages. And guess which municipality we're looking at now? Yes, Southington. Women were told or told police they were threatened into sham marriages as Southington flagged factory line unions. Excellent story here written by Brianna Gersiulo. Brianna, I hope I'm saying your name right. And Joshua Eaton. The subhead on this, the incident appears to point to a larger pattern in Southington and at least several other Connecticut communities. Well, yes, those other communities we've been talking about, thanks to the good stuff that Hearst has been doing and the New Haven Independent's been doing. New Haven, Bridgeport, allegations about Trumbull, and Southington. Now, I took the link from this Southington story, and it's up on our Facebook page. So if you go to our Facebook page, you know what that is. Facebook.com/VoiceOfCT, and we have our question of the day up. So when you go to vote on the question of the day or to voice your opinion on it, make sure you read the story there. I cannot give this justice. The story is this good. The research, the quotes, the juxtaposition of the marriage people and the justices of the peace and the cities and town clerk. If I was just to read a few segments of this, it would be unfair to you because so much of this stuff is juxtaposed in this story, and so much of this stuff is introduced in a lot of really good detail that it would take me 2 hours to read this story, honestly, to give it a fair shake. I will say this, though, and here's where we're going to start today. And this is the question I'm going to put out there. Now, and again, and we'll get to the absentee ballot thing later because this all weaves into that. But as far as the sham marriages, this now is the fourth city or town, the fourth municipality, that there are at least strong allegations that there are sham marriages here. Allegedly going on in Bridgeport, allegedly going on in Trumbull, allegedly going on in New Haven, allegedly going on in Southington. Now, I know what a lot of you people are saying, well, what's the big deal? You know, we can control if somebody wants to marry some. You know what the big deal is? It's flouting the law and it's costing you and I money. Because as they point out in many of these stories, these sham marriages are a quick way to be able to stay in the country. Now, as far as the Democrats in Hartford are concerned, they probably like that. See, this is my point now. And yes, I'm going to have Republican leader Steve Harding on coming up next hour to talk about this. Because here's how we tie all this in. There is an election next year. Not only for governor, that's the sexy election in the state. There's election for members of Congress. Trust me, our five Democratic House reps are not going anywhere. The 5th district may be somewhat competitive. We'll see, but I firmly expect Johanna Hayes, our 5th district congresswoman, to win again. The other four will be blowouts. Trust me, they're not going to be close. So I am now wondering if the Democratic majority in the state house with 151 legislators, about 100 are Democratic. State Senate, 36 legislators, about that, 24, 25 are Democratic. I wonder if they will do anything about this. Now, they can strut around and peacock around about the housing bill. Oh, we're so good. Look at what we did with the housing bill. Well, the housing bill, you just shut everybody out. You just passed everything in the dead of night on some sort of special session there. This was not an emergency. You did that, and you're strutting around like you actually did something. Okay, I'll give you that. Maybe you did something. You going to do anything about this? Now, my initial thought would be, and please surprise me, prove me wrong here. You know, in the House, Matt Ritter and Jason Rojas, in the Senate, Bob Duff and Martin Looney, maybe the governor, maybe Attorney General William Tong, if he's not suing Trump for the 433rd time. Why doesn't everybody get together, the Democratic leadership in Hartford, and try and crack down on these sham marriages? Well, Paul, there's not, you know, this law and that. Okay, well, tell me what you can do and what you can't do. Because you know what? Unless I'm convinced otherwise, not only do I not think that the Democratic majority in the House and Senate doesn't give a crap about this. I wish I could use another word, but I'd like to be back tomorrow, not suspended. Not only do I think they don't give an SH about this, they actually like it. Well, how do you say that, Paul? Well, why haven't they said anything about it? Again, The uproar you've heard now is we're into chapter four about these sham marriages. And folks, you have to read these stories. Prospective brides changing clothes, people being threatened. There's police testimony there. And yet it goes on and on and on. Why isn't any? Now, maybe I've missed this. You can tell me. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Talk or text. You tell me. Why haven't we heard anything yet? Now, the Republicans have already sent out a couple of news releases today. We'll have Steve Harding on next hour, right after the 3:30 news. But why haven't we heard, at least to any great extent, from Bob Duff on this? Martin Looney? Matt Ritter? Jason Rojas? Or even the governor? Or maybe we actually know why. To quote another great talk show host I grew up listening to, what are they so afraid of? Okay, I urge you to read this story. Look, let me just give you a couple of paragraphs here, because the story is so thorough and so intricately laid out by the Connecticut Insider and Hearst Connecticut Media, I would be doing it a disservice if I tried to summarize it here, the dope I am. So I put the link to the story. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voiceofct. Go there, because apparently our elected officials in Connecticut, from the governor on down, including Democratic leaders in the House and Senate, it's always the Democrats with you, Paul. Yes, it is, because the Republicans keep screaming about this and nothing happens. And again, they're apparently now, when we've heard this, people were calling and telling us this. I had people messaging me on this. I talked to a couple of listeners off the air about this. They didn't want to come on the air. Right when we were talking about these sham marriages in order to allow illegals to stay in Connecticut to get bogus citizenship and cost you and I money, we were told through news outlets, hey, this is also happening in Trumbull. It's also happening in Southington, along with New Haven and along with Bridgeport. And the reason it happens is because there are either no waiting periods or short waiting periods. I don't know. Can we lengthen out the waits here to thwart these idiots? I know some people that go to get a quickie marriage at a city hall or town hall, actually love each other, they're holding hands, they see birds and butterflies all around. I get the pitter-patter of their little hearts. I understand it. But you know what? If they love each other so much, maybe they can wait a week or two. How about that, huh? You like that? Records obtained by the Connecticut Insider show that while the incident that, now again, this is what I mean, you have to read a, previous paragraphs to this. But records obtained by the Connecticut Insider show that while some incidents are unusual, it appears to point to a larger pattern in Southington. You got Southington, are you there? Hello? Come in, Southington. Town officials in Southington have been communicating now. Here's why the Democrats in the State House and State Senate, why they don't want to do anything. Town officials in Southington have been communicating with federal immigration authorities for at least a year. Good for them. About their suspicions over sham marriages. Oh, my God. Oh, I shouldn't have mentioned that. Now all the Southington lefties are going to be boycotting, saying, why are you talking with the Trump people? This is just awful. Come on. You think I'm kidding? You don't think there'd be protest? Now that this story is out, you watch. I can almost guarantee you we'll have protests at Southington Town Hall. My God, 2468, please stop spreading the hate. I mean, just because they communicated with federal authorities. The new revelations come after a Connecticut Insider investigation found that Southington is one of at least several communities in Connecticut along with Bridgeport, New Haven, and Trumbull, where questions have surfaced about potential sham marriages. Hey, and you people in Southington, be careful. Again, they railroaded the lefties in New Haven from Mayor Elliger on down. They steamrolled and railroaded a woman in the city of town clerk's office because she called officials because she knew there was something bogus going on. Be careful in Southington. The lefty mobs are going to come after you. Local officials in each municipality have been in contact with the feds about marriages in recent years. Good. Keep it up. Here's my question, and we're already getting responses to it. And they're a little cynical. Can I say that? Facebook.com/voiceofct. There are more reports of sham marriages in Connecticut. Will lawmakers do anything about it? Or are they just going to look the other way? Jeez, what do you think the answer will be in Blue Connecticut? You tell me, 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Well, the Republican contingent in Hartford, the caucus there, has put out a news release saying, hey, we've got to do something here to make it a little more difficult for these alleged, let's stress alleged, sham marriages here. Now, we've been talking about this for about a year, year and a half. First reports in New Haven, then in Bridgeport. And when that Bridgeport report came out, they were alluding to things going on in Trumbull and Southington. I took a couple of calls off the air from people who told me about some interesting things in Trumbull, and now we have this long and really involved and very well laid out and reported story by Hearst as to apparently what's going on with alleged sham marriages in Southington, many of which result in higher costs for people if this is a way for people to stay in the country who would have otherwise not been here. And Republican State Senate Leader Steve Harding joins us to chat about that. Steve signed off, one of the signatories on the news release today. Steve, good afternoon. Hope you're well. And again, Steve, the merry-go-round just keeps going round and round on this stuff.
Doesn't it? And it's really unfortunate. And you and I have discussed this in the past, Paul. It just doesn't seem to go away. It seems to, unfortunately, exponentially rise in what we're seeing. We're only hearing more and more from town clerks and different town halls and municipalities throughout the state that is becoming a growing issue. And we have been calling on the majority party Democrats to do something about this. You know, frankly, this is also on the Attorney General's office. You know, the Attorney General likes to sue President Trump every single day. But when there's problems going on where women are potentially or unfortunately likely being completely taken advantage of and being forced into certain marriages for whatever purpose, the Attorney General's office seemingly has nothing to say about it. No investigation is occurring. And frankly, Paul, I think these are relatively easy investigations that can be concluded here. It's the same exact individuals, from what I'm hearing from town clerks, that are bringing these parties into town halls and having them get married with a town clerk. And the town clerks are seeing these individuals bring in multiple people multiple times a week, multiple times a month. It can't be that difficult to investigate and find out the bad actors here and make them face significant consequences that they stop doing this and taking advantage of people.
So, Steve, I don't get it. What is the fear from the governor, from the lieutenant governor, from Mr. Tong, the attorney general, from the leaders in the House and the Senate on the Democratic side? Are they afraid that some of these individuals might be found out to be illegals? I don't, Steve, explain this to me. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
There is no logical response to why they are not willing to do anything on this issue. None at all. I do find it odd that some of the individuals that are alleged to be acting in this operation are involved politically or have been government officials in the past, like one individual who was involved in a voting scandal down in Bridgeport. So I don't know if it's unfortunate that it seems to be the same bad actors that we see time and time again involved in bad aspects or fraud in government in some manner. But I don't know if there's an immigration issue there, to your point. I mean, unfortunately, there's no reason as to why any government official, Republican or Democrat, regardless of what underlying issues may be involved, why they shouldn't be stepping up, getting involved, joining us Republicans in the Senate in saying something needs to be done here. People are being taken advantage of. The law is completely being skirted fraudulently. Something needs to be done. And also, not for nothing, Paul, I think part of this, too, is the town clerks want to do something.
Yes.
They see people being taken advantage of, and the laws that are currently written by the Democrats don't really allow them any latitude to stop this.
And if anything, Steve, if you remember the woman who blew the whistle on this in New Haven, they came, the city of New Haven came down on her like a ton of bricks.
Correct.
Because she, you know, somebody who had been there, I guess, for decades and said, hey, there's something wrong. There's something. And who got in trouble? Her. It's mind numbing.
And I think it's setting a standard by which many municipal employees that are seeing this in the light of day, multiple days a week, multiple times a month, at the very least in some circumstances, are probably scared,
yeah,
frankly, to step forward based upon the example that was set by the individual in New Haven who did the right thing, in my opinion, and stepped in and tried to stop this. And so there's obviously a precedent being set by the Democratic Party, not only in our state government, but seemingly in town halls across the state, that there's some dictate that this is not to be stopped, that this should be allowed, no questions are to be asked. And meanwhile, just like a lot of other things, people are taken advantage of, laws are being skirted, and we are worse off by these type of actions than we were if we had other individuals involved doing the right thing.
And Steve, finally, on one other issue before we let you go, I got the release and I'm rereading it now. The auditors who do a great job here in Connecticut, we should double or triple the number of auditors here. Again, Steve,
yes,
this time deep, and we're not here to pillory the good, hard people that work for the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, but again, more waste, allegedly, of taxpayer money, or shall we say incompetence in logging where it is, into the six-figure area. So, again, that's another thing, Steve, and I know you folks on the GOP side say we need to go deeper into this.
100%. And it seems like every time we see these auditors report, to your point, Paul, time and time again, there have been issues that we spot. In some cases, I believe one of the audits recently on DEEP found that there was assault weapons that DEEP had. They don't even know where they are. So this goes to show you the lack of competence that's involved with many different state agencies, and the lack of want by this governor, frankly, who oversees all these agencies, to do anything to crack down on the fraud and the waste that continues to occur with taxpayer money and taxpayer property. When it comes down to their own money, they care. But when it comes down to taxpayer money, they could care less how it's overseen. They could care less how it's spent, and they can care less if basically money cannot even be found in some circumstance like what we're seeing here.
All right. Steve Harding, State Senate Republican leader. Steve, thanks. We'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
Well, always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, Steve. Thank you, my friend. All right. Dan Haar joins us, Hearst Connecticut Media, with a cornucopia of stuff to talk about this week. Mr. Haar, good afternoon. How are you?
Cornucopia.
You like
great.
That?
I'm driving to our holiday party in the cold rain. Oh, luckily, I'm in a car and not on a bicycle.
Okay. Now, number one, behave yourself at the party. I mean, I have no doubt that you will, but I'm just putting that out there for you, okay? Will you promise me?
I'll do my best.
All right. Excellent.
I'll do my best.
Excellent. Got some new numbers, Dan, as far as the state finances are going. How are we doing?
62%.
Okay.
That's good, huh?
And that means what?
60. That means that the combined blended teachers and state employees pension funds are funded at 62% of where they have to be. We're going to catch up by 2046. Now, that doesn't sound great if you're listening to 62%. Like a 62 on a test is not too good.
Yeah.
But it's up from mid-30s.
Wow.
So remember, at the low point, in the in the depths of the recession. We were in the mid-30s, and we were down there with Illinois and New Jersey. So things could be a lot worse, and they have gotten better. We're working our way up toward the middle of the pack among states, and the returns for the pensions, the returns were for the fiscal year were 10.14%. So things are looking up as far as the balance sheet is concerned. Of course, a lot of the Republicans are saying that we should have taken that money and given it back to the taxpayers because we're taxing too much, and we're paying down the pensions, but we're not we're taxing more than we need, and that's the debate.
All right, and yeah, still 62%, not too bad from 30%. I think most people can understand that. This interesting first congressional district race, that's your district where you live, Dan, John Larson, senior. No, I guess Rosa's been there longer. But John Larson, one of the senior members of our congressional delegation, some people are telling him maybe it's time to step aside. He doesn't want to. What's the latest with that race?
The latest is that we've all been reporting about, well, actually, we haven't necessarily been reporting, but we've all been tracking the endorsements that John Larson is rolling out and the smaller number of endorsements that Luke Bronin has been trotting out, and the even smaller number of endorsements that Jillian Gilchrist has been trotting out. And yesterday, on her website, Jillian posted the endorsement of some 18 state House and Senate women. And what's notable is not that 18 women in the state House and Senate endorsed Jillian Gilchrist, the far behind in fundraising liberal candidate from West Hartford. But the way they phrased, and I can't read it right now, but the way they phrased it was, it's high time women got attention. And this strikes me as being a return to identity politics, which I personally do not think is healthy. I rarely issue as strong an opinion about something as this. And I think this is, if the liberals are going to give anything back in the Trump era, it has to be identity politics. We have to agree that Trump may be right about nothing, except identity politics went too far.
And I find that a little odd, Dan, because has she seen Rosa DeLauro? Has she seen Johanna Hayes? I mean, it's not like we have an all-male delegation.
Don't forget Barbara Kennelly, who's still very much alive, alive and well at age 89, held that seat for 22 years.
Wow.
So that very seat.
Let's talk about another member of Congress, Dan Haar, the guest, his midweek check-in with us, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, Jim Himes from down here, 4th District Congressional Democrat, and because of his position, I tell people, as the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee, he got to see this video now that suddenly Mr. Trump and Mr. Hegseth may be pulling punches on and not releasing related to this boat strike, and he is forcefully trying to get this thing released.
That's right. He's one of about eight people who saw it in Congress. Is that the Gang of Eight? I always forget. I think that's what they call the Gang of Eight. The Defense and Intelligence ranking members and chairs. I believe go by the Gang of Eight. Don't hold. I'm not an insider down there.
Okay.
He has, you know, give credit to Congressman Himes. He was making noise about this not long after. Well, not long. A few weeks after this happened, and I know that everybody's piling on right now, and rightly piling on. And the latest news now is that Trump is saying that they took over a tanker.
Yeah.
So you know, these are acts of war without a declared war, as Congressman Himes says. There was evidence enough to kill them, but apparently not evidence enough to bring them to the U.S. on trial. And that's an awfully untenable place to be when it comes to declarations of war.
Finally, Dan, just one thing on that. Look, you've been covering this stuff a long time. You and I have been reading this stuff a long time. In looking at this boat strike thing, do you think, and I know we can get into the minutiae of this, and guys like you and I can go round and round about this, Do you think the Democrats may be, and I suggested this, are they in danger because these are now pretty much people know, okay, they're not fishermen, they're supposed drug runners. You think the Dems may be in danger of overplaying their hand on this or not?
Well, superficially, yes. Right? In the popular imagination, yes. But I have friends who have lost children to fentanyl overdoses. Cocaine is a different drug, right? Cocaine is not, this is what's in that boat is cocaine.
Yeah.
Right? So, and A, and B, when you learn the simple fact that it is unlikely that boat was actually headed to the United States, mm-hmm. at least directly.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, the United States Navy can pick up the boat, destroy the cocaine, pick up the 11 people on the boat, and bring them for justice with about the same difficulty as killing all 11 and sinking the boat.
All right, we'll see how that shakes out. Hey, Dan, finally, kudos to your reporters there at Hearst. I did about my first 90 minutes today on the Southington, the alleged sham marriage story in Southington, Dan. So kudos to them. Great reporting by you people. And now, Dan, we have this in Southington. Previous stories in New Haven and Bridgeport, and I've taken calls off the air on stuff going on like this allegedly in Trumbull. Where do you think this goes?
Well, unfortunately, it does. There have always been sham marriages. I don't know. The story doesn't say, and I don't know whether they've increased in the period when obviously it's harder to get here any other way if you're an immigrant. But I just hope that this doesn't further the unfortunate rhetoric of hatred against immigrants mm-hmm. that we're seeing from the administration. Yes, it's a crime. Yes, we want to see it stopped. No, it's not okay. But it's something that's been going on for some time.
Yeah.
And I mean, we can say there are sham marriages. We don't have to even say alleged.
Sure.
For any given case, they're alleged.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my take on this is, you know, really with all the stuff going on in the world, the number of sham marriages is a problem. It is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not why we have the big problems that this country has. Right. Those few hundred or few thousand people cheating the system by using marriages that are for immigration only are not the reason that we have X, Y, and Z social ill in this country.
All right, Dan. And finally, as you go off to your company party, behave. You know how Dan, you've made it on this program. Somebody has a question for you. Would you like to field a question, Dan, before we say goodbye?
Sure. I'll go with yes.
Okay. John in Norwalk has a question for Dan Haar. So if we could punch up John here. John, what might be your question for Dan Haar? Go ahead.
Yeah, Dan, thank you. My question is just about the state pensions. And, you know, it's interesting. People will say that, you know, it's 62% funded now. But that all has to do with a lot of assumptions, whether it's the actuarial discount rate, it's the asset mix that they have, and, of course, I guess the open question is how much of that hole was plugged with government COVID-related relief funds?
All right.
Those are my questions, and I don't know the answers to them. I'm just interested because you never get into that level. Not you, but generally speaking, they never get into that level of minutia, which is, well, pretty darn important to really assess what the liabilities are on the balance sheet.
All right, Dan, what do you got?
The COVID funds were indirect. The state got $2.6 billion in COVID money. It was able to use that money to shore up the budget during those two years. And so that helped the budget. But most important, the COVID money jump-started the economy, especially for the rich, which led to the huge capital gains, which led to the so-called waterfall, which led to the $10 billion. And so you're right indirectly. I would say, but why not take it? You can't give that money back.
No argument here. I guess my point is, what is the sustainability of that? I mean, you have a stock market that's been roaring. Obviously, that's helped returns to obviously make the balance sheet stronger and all the, you know, the related items. But I guess when I think about the discount rate of those and that actuarial assumption is a huge thing to figure out what that liability is. and additionally, what the anticipated returns are going to be forward, because it's been a very conducive environment up to this point. I guess my question is it really feasible to close that gap even more than what's already been done? That's my question.
John, thank you. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Dan. Finish up on that. Yeah.
I think the answer is, if we see more years of 10% returns, you will recall, John, that we lowered the actuarial assumption from 8% to 6.9% in, I think, 2017, which was a big deal. The 8% was a little funny business. And so that further hurt the situation, apparently, but we're beating that number. So the answer is, we cannot assume that we're going to have years where we lower the liability level like we have, but let's enjoy it while we have it and hope it stays.
All right, Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, thank you. Have a nice time tonight. Behave, and we'll talk next week, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Dan Haar there. And John, thank you for the call. Yeah, good point there. Are these numbers at all, in any way, shape, or form, sustainable?